How do you do, ladies and gentlemen? This is Knox Manning in Hollywood, taking you on another brief journey behind the scenes. Once again, we draw back the curtain of memory to watch a fragment of forgotten drama, a story of people and places already hidden in the background of destiny. Today, we hear the story of a great general and a beautiful lady. But first, a word from a friendly voice. And now, step with me behind the scenes to a great European capital, a city once gay and carefree, but now torn by the ravages of war. The public buildings are scarred and pockmarked by artillery and small arms fire, and the streets are helter-skelter shambles of barricades and uprooted trees, of broken-down vehicles and gutted shop windows. The battle is over, the city has fallen, and the people are huddled in their homes, fearfully awaiting the reprisal they know must come. Still, though the city is, the headquarters of the victorious general are a scene of bustling activity. He has an army to be fed, a battle-ravaged city screaming for administration. An endless stream of people and problems confront the young general until it seems, as with Jason and the dragon's teeth, two pop up for every one that's settled. He's issued the orders he deemed necessary with promptness and dispatch. He's disarmed the populace. He's fed and quartered his troops. He's met with the council. But each order issued brings a flood of problems in its wake. Here's a farmer with a claim against the army for forage. They are a wine merchant whose shop the troops have raided and despoiled. The list of those requesting an audience seems endless, but the young officer attempts to see them all, granting such claims as seem just, refusing those which don't. Then finally there stands before him one who both looks and feels very out of place in the headquarters of a mighty general, a boy of perhaps 10, 12 at the most. He takes his place before the general and, in a voice quavering with fright, states his business. The soldiers, he says, in response to the general's order to disarm the people, have taken his father's sword. His father was an officer in the army, a brave soldier who fell in battle, and the loss of this memento, which had been so dear to him, has broken his mother's heart. He pleads for its return, and an eloquent plea it is for one of his years. It's apparent that neither he nor his mother could put the sword to the use for which it was intended. The general, moved by the boy's story and his courage, grants the request, and the answering smile on the lad's face more than rewards his mercy. In the course of military affairs, the interview with the boy was quickly forgotten, but fate, meanwhile, was conspiring to make it one of the most important events in the young general's life. A few days after the forgotten interview, a woman presented herself at headquarters and requested an interview. It was granted, and the general found himself face to face with what he considered the most gracious and beautiful woman he'd ever seen. She explained that she was the mother of the young boy, and that what he'd done had been without her knowledge or consent, but that she'd been so impressed with the general's kindness and mercy that she'd come to thank him personally. Her grace and charm, her wit and beauty so captivated the general's heart that he was soon a frequent visitor at her home. And before the year was out, the brave youth who had stood quaking before the general had acquired him as a stepfather. I'll be back in a moment with the conclusion to our story, but first, a word from your announcer. Yes, they'd met because a small boy wanted his father's sword returned, and together they were to go far. Together they rose, the young officer and the beautiful widow, until they were known as Emperor and Empress Josephine and Napoleon Bonaparte. This is Knox Manning inviting you to join me again at this time for another journey into that dim half-light where chance and destiny lift men out from behind the scenes. This is a Hamilton Whitney radio production, transcribed in Hollywood.